Good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
Big day with a big hearing.
Very big. Very important to get some direct answers about why this pipeline spill happened. And, you know, the more I prepare, the more I study all of the information that was available. You know, this was a company that had 83 incidents in this Lakehead pipeline since 2002. There were over 300 known defects that they hadn't fixed, including, I just found out over the last couple of weeks, a defect in the very section of pipeline that ruptured. I'm going to find out why this company hadn't been fixing its pipeline. We're also going to hear from some residents about what they've experienced, and we're going to hear from federal agencies today about what they knew, when they knew it, and you know, what they could have done differently, you know, to hold Enbridge Energy Company accountable and make them repair their pipeline. So it is this is a day for answers.
Congressman, an interesting story on the front page of this morning's Detroit Free Press, authored by Todd Spangler. It's headline, Enbridge Restarted Pipeline as Oil Leak. Report finds failure in communication. Apparently, one source at Enbridge thought that the leak had stopped and restarted the pipeline, while other folks within the company knew that there was a leak and that it shouldn't be restarted. So obviously there was a breakdown in communication.
Well, there are probably a lot of breakdowns in communication, but, you know, there's also information that was clearly known. It was clearly known that that this pipeline had problems. It was known by Enbridge Energy Company themselves. I want to find out what information they shared and when with the regulatory body. You know, I want to know why this company was choosing to operate under reduced pressure, you know, for a year, and ironically, 10 days before the spill, had asked to continue to do that for 2.5 years while it was deciding what to do about all of these defects, including one right at the site of the rupture. And I want to find out why the regulatory body was had allowed them to operate under reduced pressure. You know, this should not have happened. And what also I will get at today is why there were alarms going on in the in Enbridge's control room in Edmonton, Alberta, for 13 hours, and nobody could figure out that they had a problem, a potential leak in their pipeline. And, you know, 10 days before the spill, the company testified before this very same committee that they could detect the leaks of the smallest size. So, you know, this company has, you know, failed to detect its own leak. It failed to quickly report the leak. It was not maintaining its pipeline. You know, today is a day for answers. Today is a day for accountability, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that this company accounts for what it failed to do, and to make sure that systems are put in place and the regulatory tools are there so that this doesn't happen again.
Congressman, has Enbridge been lying about many facets of this whole operation?
Well, what I feel is their words have not matched their actions. That has been the case about statements of you know, treating people fairly. We're going to hear from people today who've been forced or pressured to sign release forms, releasing all of their legal rights in exchange for something as simple as an air purifier. You know, it's interesting that the people that are coming to testify today as witnesses in this hearing after weeks of trying to get relief from the company, you know, sort of magically have had checks delivered to them, you know, just within, you know, days of this hearing. You know, the company is saying that they have checked the documents of all workers on the site, but there are illegal workers who have worked on this job. You know, their actions and their words don't match up. But, you know, bottom line, you know, this should never have happened. There were over 300 defects, known defects, known to the company, known to the regulator, on this pipeline that the company has neglected to repair. So, you know, they bear full responsibility for what's happening. What's happened for this spill of a million gallons of heavy crude oil into the Kalamazoo River, and we're going to talk about this type of crude oil today. And they're responsible for, you know, making sure that the community is made whole. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that happens.
Are you angry?
I am angry. I'm very angry. The more I learn, the angrier I get. And you know, I expect I'm going to be very angry during this hearing today.
As far as you know, where are we with the cleanup?
Well, we're going to hear from the EPA about that. And one of my questions of the EPA is, you know, there is a September 27th deadline to complete the cleanup. You know, I'm very skeptical about whether that deadline can be met. So I want to hear from the EPA about their commitment to make sure they hold this company accountable, and, you know, to that deadline and to subsequent deadlines. I mean, this is a long-term process, and I don't want anybody walking away, you know, after September 27th and declaring victory, because I think, you know, there is going to have to be continuing monitoring, continue cleanup and remediation, because let's keep in mind, you know, children play along the banks of this river, swim in this water, people fish, eat fish out of this water, you know, people water their you know, irrigate their farms out of this water. So it is a, you know, any contamination that's left will be a hazard to the people of this area, and that, you know, we need assurances that will not be allowed to happen.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking with Congressman Mark Schauer. I've got just a few more questions for the congressman as he prepares for today's big hearing involving Enbridge. Congressman, I want to get to the latest, what you know about cap and trade. We've been talking about that a lot on the show. And the experts that we get and the people that we get on to talk about it, I don't see a lot of positives in this. Tell me what you think and how you are going to vote.
Well, there's not an impending vote. There was a vote on the American Clean Energy and Security Act, you know, last year. And I supported the bill because it will create jobs. It will create clean energy jobs. It will move us toward a clean energy economy. And, you know, I mean, there's a link between what happened in the Kalamazoo River and, you know, a lack of energy policy. You know, we are heavily dependent on foreign oil. We usually think of oil from the Middle East. This is, you know, heavy crude oil from Canada that's, you know, piped, you know, 8 million gallons a day that's piped, you know, through Michigan. We know this cleanup will cost $300 to $400 million, and you know, I wish I could promise my constituents that they won't have to pay for that in some way. I mean, directly the company will pay for the cleanup, but you know, I think we all get that. You know, somehow this company will figure out how to pass on its costs. That's a result of an economy that's still reliant on fossil fuels. You know, it is encouraging that we're creating new jobs in Michigan in developing and building new battery technology for new hybrid and electric vehicles. There are wind energy jobs that are being created in my district. You know, so, we have to continue to push away from our dependence on fossil fuels. It's a national security issue, and it's a jobs issue for us. So I'm going to do everything I can to support diversification of Michigan's economy so that we can not only develop these new technologies, but that we can build them. And, I think it's a missed opportunity and a failure for folks to dig in and stay with the energy policies of the past.
But the people Congressman, the people we talk to say cap and trade is going to create higher prices at the gas pump at a time where a lot of folks can't afford that. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
Well, I think that's short-sighted, and I think that's a very static analysis because, you know, as demand is reduced, and you know, we're seeing that. I mean, we see that with our own, the state is seeing it with its own fuel taxes to fix our roads. That as there are more hybrid vehicles, more fuel-efficient vehicles, we're going to see that continue with electric vehicles. That reduces the demand for gasoline, we've seen lower prices. It's interesting. There's a recent price spike because of the Enbridge oil spill in Illinois. You know, that's what's driving up prices over the last week or so. So, I think a full analysis will show that. Gas prices will go down as a result of innovation, new technologies, and less use of gasoline and fossil fuels.
Will those prices go down in the long term or the short term?
Well, I think both. I think it depends on how quickly the technology is developed, but. You know, when you look at the number of hybrid vehicles that are on the road now, we look at federal fuel efficient standards that have gone up. Frankly, they've sort of followed the industry. The industry has innovated and put more fuel efficient vehicles on the road, and the public has responded. I mean, sort of the public is leading the industry. The industry has candidly been ahead of federal CAFE standards. I don't think people want to be dependent on, $3 and $4 per gallon prices of gasoline. We've been there, and I think people understand that this isn't just a jobs issue for Michigan and our country. This is a national security issue, and we see it's an environmental issue, whether it's a climate change issue or an issue that impacts our environment in very real ways, as we've experienced in Calhoun County.
All right, we've got two more questions for Congressman Mark Schauer on the Tony Connolly Morning Show. On 1320 WILS, earlier this week we had Tim Walberg on the program, and I asked him if he would have voted for the extension of unemployment benefits, and he said he would have not, and I wanted to get your comment on that.
Right. Well, I know that. We talked about that in a candidate forum in the Jackson Economic Club the other day. He calls it a handout. This is an insurance program for times of a down economy. And that's, we are digging out of the deepest recession since the 1930s. And, not only does Tim Walberg want to turn his back on families who've lost their job as a result of some of his policies. Let's keep in mind, Tim Walberg says we've gained jobs from NAFTA, we're gaining jobs from China, that outsourcing is good and necessary for our economy. I mean, Tim Walberg lives on a different planet when it comes to what working families are going through. And, what he's also willing to do by opposing unemployment benefits is just directly hurt our economy. Those dollars not only are a lifeline for families who've lost their jobs in this down economy, but those dollars go right back into the economy. And for every dollar of unemployment benefits that are received, there's about $1.50 in economic impact. in terms of activity in the economy. So I think Tim Walberg needs to start talking to real families. He might want to talk to some economists as he goes. And the numbers that I just gave you come from John McCain's economist. You know, Tim Walberg is not on the side of working families. He's not on the side of real people, and he's certainly not on the side of manufacturing in Michigan, you know, to support outsourcing and say that we're gaining jobs as a result of outsourcing is just wrong and, you know, is completely out of touch with what is going on in reality, certainly in Michigan.
And finally, Congressman, in talking with Tim Walberg about this topic, he said that he thinks we can't afford this and that there are many programs similar to this that you have voted for that we didn't have the money for, and he wants to put an end of that kind of spending.
Well, you know, Tim Walberg wants to wash his hands of what he's been responsible for. You know, he was there when the deficit reached $1.3 trillion. You know, he presided over, you know, policies of deregulation that caused the Wall Street crash, and now he's washing his hands of it. And, you know, what's interesting, the latest from Tim Walberg is he said the federal government should have no role in education. You know, at a time where student loans have eclipsed credit card debt in our society, where, you know, people, young and old, are flocking to community colleges and public universities and private universities to get a degree so that they can be successful and competitive in this economy, Tim Walberg says no. You know, he says, you know, he says no to, you know, families of special needs children, that says they should have no help in the form of special education supports and services. I mean, Tim Walberg doesn't get it. You know, he is beholden to an ideology that's failed and is completely out of touch with reality. I mean, it's the same ideology that that drives him to support the privatization of Social Security. I mean, what does Tim Walberg actually support? You know, he says no to everything. And he says yes to privatizing Social Security, which would be devastating not just to, you know, senior citizens today who 6 in 10 rely on Social Security as their primary source of income. You know, that would be devastating to future generations. So he is just so out of touch with what's going on with real families, with real seniors, with an economy that, you know, actually in Michigan we've added 28,000 manufacturing jobs. There is a real glimmer of hope. Tim Walberg thinks outsourcing is good for our economy. So he just does not get it.
Congressman, thank you so much. I know you're very busy in preparation for today's hearing on Enbridge. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Tony. Take care.